Memorial.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk.
We interrupt this program to bring you the following message. What if everything you've been told about money was a lie? It's time for the truth. Welcome to Financial Coaching Radio, where cookie-cutter financial advice just doesn't cut it. With your host, certified financial planner, Jason Qualls. He's giving it to you straight and pulling back the curtains on the financial advice industry. No hidden agenda and no one-size-fits-all baby steps. Only unbiased, objective help for your entire financial life. Tackling your money questions at 893-1450. And now, here's the host of Financial Coaching Radio, commission-free, certified financial planner, Jason Qualls.
So we're on the one show giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio, and I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner, one of the only independent commission-free financial advisors in Rutherford County. For all about me, check out jasonquallscfp.com. That's jasonquallscfp.com. If you want to jump in with questions, comments, even a disagreement, you can do that by clicking email the show at financialcoachingradio.com. Find us on social media, send messages those ways as well, even though I don't know if that's as efficient as email. Probably get through a little quicker that way. But the links for Twitter, Facebook, all there at financialcoachingradio.com. First up, let's talk about some lessons we should have learned, but you forgot. What am I talking about? We just had a little bit of I shouldn't say a little bit. The market is going haywire, right? Now, it's not catastrophic as far as other times the market's been down, and it could end up that way. But it's all relative and subjective, right? The market may go down 10% from where it was January 1st, and you may view that as catastrophic. Or someone in the industry, or someone who's been doing this for a while, and I just mean being an investor, even if you're just a normal guy or gal. Most people would say a 10% down year, that's nothing. That's nothing. Why would they think it's nothing? Because they have learned some lessons from the past. So whether or not this ends up being worse, what we're going through with COVID-19 and the pandemic, I don't think it will be. But if it turns out to be, for a temporary time, worse than the Great Recession that began in 2007, 2008, we can look back at the past and say, what did we learn from that? And I'll just give you my own personal experience. I remember thinking when, you know, the Dow was, you know, at 14,000, I think, in 2007. And by near the end of 2008, somewhere in there, if my memory serves me correctly, the Dow Jones Industrial Average got down to about 6,800. But cut in half, right? 50% drop, really ended up being about 40% drop, I think, for the year. That means it went up from where it was. But for the 2008 year, I think the U.S. stocks, as far as the S&P and the Dow, were down about 40. What could we learn, or what did I learn from that? I learned sitting there watching this happen, going, man, I wish I had more cash. And I don't mean cash as in I wish I had timed the market and got out. I wish I had cash ready and available to make some big time investments when the Dow was at 6,800. Because where did it go from here? It went from 6,800 to what, 28, 29,000, whatever the high was. I couldn't keep it up with it because it was like a new high every day. But even looking from that point, 6,800, to where it is now, even the doom and gloomers saying the market, you know, it's terrible, the market's crashing, down 10-15% for the year at this point, going from 6,800 to 23,000, I'll daggum take it. So that was one of the things I learned, is that, you know, you don't need to be hoarding cash. You need to keep some maybe in your investment strategy, maybe a padded up investment, or not investment, a padded up emergency fund. So when something crazy and wacko like this happens that drives the stock market way lower than it should be, you can seize the day, take advantage of it. And, you know, and I'm not saying you pull out everything you have in cash and go invest it. I'm just saying if you have to have it for an opportunity, whatever that opportunity is. So that's the lesson I learned from 2008. Is it necessary to do that to be a successful investor? No. There are tons of other lessons we can learn from 2008. Many retirees and near retirees felt the effects of the financial crisis for many years to come. That's not from me. That's from Kiplinger. Well, I'll tell you this. Now, did you feel it? Well, what you read that statement and you go, many. Okay, I mean, what's many? Is it more than three, more than four? Many retirees or near retirees felt the effects of the financial crisis in 2008 for many years to come. What's many years? It didn't take that long to get back to even if you were a buy and hold diversified investor. One client retired at age 55 in 2007. And we had about 20, 25 years worth of money at that point. They could have lived mid-70s, maybe early 80s without running out of money at that time in 2007. Then bam, 2008 hits. Market down, U.S. stocks. Obviously, they were all invested in U.S. stocks. There were some other asset classes spread out between stocks and bonds, international real estate, that sort of thing. But it was a down year for this person. 20% negative for the year of 2008. They had just retired. Did he or she feel that for many years to come? If you call many years, 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't call that many. Did it have an impact on their retirement income stream? No. Why did it not have an impact? Because we were prepared. We were prepared for it. We were saying, we were already thinking, okay, what if worst case scenario happens, can you make it? Yes. If average scenario happens, can you make it? Yes, of course. If you can make it in the worst case, we can make it in the best case. So 2008, in my view, was the worst case. So we just had to hang on. We had to diversify, had to make some strategic decisions on rebalancing at the right time. That's a lesson that that person learned from 2008. So when you go through these things, it's with anything in life. If you had a major family issue 10 years ago, and then you're facing it again today, you forget that you've been here before because you're in the emotion, you're in the moment. Same thing with investing. You don't remember 2008. You don't remember, you don't care because you're like, hey, things have been going great. You're riding the Trump train, baby, all the way to the top, down going to 30,000. You forget the lessons that were there, like things like the Great Recession. I've already talked about turning the market chaos into opportunity. That should be a lesson everyone learned. Could you have done it in this state of the market? Could you in mid to late March when things were like going nuts? Now, the market's still down, but it was really nuts for there for a couple weeks. Been a perfect time to take advantage of that chaos, put some cash to work. And then when the market goes from 19,000 or whatever the low was this year, back to 30,000, it's going to pay off big time. But more so than not, the biggest lesson that you need to learn is two things, actually, when we're going through something like this, but also in relevance to your investments. You got to be diversified. You're like, well, I own four different types of mutual funds. I got me some good growth stock ones. Growth in income, international aggressive growth. That's not diversified. That's not at all. Those are all stock funds. All one major asset class. And then breaking it out between the two, you have basically U.S. and international. There's U.S., international, emerging markets, natural resources, U.S. bonds, long-term, short-term. There is international bonds. There's real estate. There's global real estate, U.S. real estate. There's money market, cash holdings, natural resources, gold. Go on and on. We could bust this thing out and diversify you until your freaking head split. That's diversification. Do you need everything? No. But you got to have a balance. That balance should be based on what you're trying to achieve in your retirement strategy. So if there's any, because diversification will show you when something like this happens. And one thing I don't mean about diversification, if you do this, that's fine. You can pat yourself on the back right now. I don't think you need asset classes that go up if the stock market goes down. It's counterintuitive, because if they go up when the stock market goes down and the stock market goes up, they're going to be going down, and they're working against each other. No. What you need is asset classes that are spread out. Like this thing, just right now, just think 50-50 stock to bond portfolio. You're feeling some pain, but you're not getting your arm and legs chopped off. Now, what is the upside if you're going to be a more aggressive investor? The upside is you're going to get more return over the long term. You got to tolerate the bigger swings. If you're going to be a more diversified investor, what are you going to get? You're going to get more protection in the downside, but give up some upside. It's that simple. But if you just got the same old, everything owns exactly the same in your investment strategy, you're not diversified. You didn't learn a dang thing from 2008, and hopefully you're learning it now. So those are some lessons I want you to learn. If you want to learn more, reach out to me, Jason Qualls, CFP.com. I am one of the only independent commission-free financial advisors in Rutherford County. All right, this is Financial Coaching Radio. I'm back at you right after this short break. Stick around. Keep it locked in right here on WGNS. Buying a house is stressful, and so is shopping for a mortgage. Take my advice and get a second opinion on the mortgage for your new home or your refinance. Not all banks and mortgage companies are created equal. Trust me on this. Call my friend Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885. Great team, great process, and the best rates. Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank at 615-439-0885.
Do you have a financial plan? I'm not talking about a worthless binder full of pretty charts and graphs. Are you certain you're on track to reach all your financial goals? A comprehensive financial plan is about so much more than just your IRA and mutual funds. It involves risk management, tax planning, professional investment management, retirement, and estate planning. Make sure your entire financial life is in order by calling me, Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner at 878-2134, or go to my website, jasonquallscfp.com.
Between car payments, repairs, and the price at the pump, it can feel like your car is going to drive you out of house and home. Fortunately, Donegal Insurance Group can make keeping your car on the road more affordable. That's because for safe drivers, Donegal delivers rates that are among the lowest in the state. To find out how much you can save, call your neighborhood Donegal agent today.
To save on your auto insurance, call us at Middle Tennessee Insurance Group at 615-898-0053.
Welcome back to the show. This is Financial Coaching Radio. Joining in is Marshall Sparkman, our mortgage expert on the show. We've got a lot of changes going on in the mortgage business. Not that rates weren't low enough before, but certainly things that happened recently in the economy might drive them even lower. But there's also a lot of programs that have evolved and came about because of the global pandemic that has changed the mortgage industry. Maybe it's affected you. Maybe you have questions about things that are going on with your mortgage. Should you defer it? Can you defer it? Do you have to pay it? What's the issue surrounding there? Marshall Sparkman, Franklin Synergy Bank. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, what's up, brother? Glad to be back.
All right, so what's the big question you're getting from people having on this the coronavirus stimulus bill and how it impacts housing?
Well, they passed the CARES Act a couple weeks ago, and the intent was to be able to provide some relief for people who are unemployed or having a decrease in income. So basically, the CARES Act, part of it was if you have a drop in income or anything as a result of the what's going on, then you could defer your mortgage payments for up to 12 months.
All right. So what does that mean in 5-year-old terms? I mean, I don't have to pay it for 12 months?
Yes.
And then what happens to the money that I should have paid? Does it just, correct. Does they That's forgive the it? Does it go no. on the back end? What?
It's not forgiven. Most servicers are requiring it due either lump sum immediately, or they'll allow you to stretch it out over a certain period of time, usually 3 to 6 months.
Lump sum?
Yeah, could you imagine?
So if your mortgage payment's $1,000 a month, you defer it for 12 months, they're going to want $12,000 up in a lump.
Yeah, completely unrealistic, isn't it? So every servicer is treating it differently, and they're coming out with policies now on how they're dealing with it. But it has had a ton of unintended consequences in our market.
Explain.
Oh, gosh. So the first one is it's a deferral. It is not a you don't have to make your payments. You're deferring your payment to another time. So I'm telling people, if you absolutely have to have it, you're no other option, then yeah, you don't have a choice than to take the deferral. It's kind of one step away from a loan modification or a foreclosure.
If I choose deferral, they're making me choose how many, you know, is it, can I not make it this month, but make it next month? Or is it a set time? I have to go ahead and give a predetermined time I'm going to defer it? Well, I just don't see mortgage companies being that flexible.
No, different servicers are treating it differently, and basically they have to be flexible. They're going to take your payment, because here's what's going on. When your mortgage servicing, let's say your mortgage is serviced by Wells Fargo. They're one of the largest mortgage servicers in the United States. So Wells Fargo is servicing your mortgage, but they got their money from a mortgage-backed security, which is actually, the money is held by, let's say, some retirement fund out there, or somebody's 401k has invested in mortgage-backed securities, and they are actually the ones that ponied up the money for your mortgage. So Wells Fargo, all they're doing is servicing the mortgage. They're catching a little bit of the interest, and then they're passing the rest of it on to whatever hedge fund or whatever 401k bought that loan. Well, guess what? If you go into deferral status and you're not making your mortgage payment, Wells Fargo is still on the hook to make that payment to the 401k company or whoever bought the mortgage or whoever's funding the mortgage. So the problem is these servicing companies are going, they're projecting trillions of dollars in deficit, and it's actually starting to shut a bunch of mortgage companies down because they simply don't have the money to foot the bill on thousands of people's mortgage for months on end.
So how does that work? So this CARES Act gives the ability for you to defer your payment, but that's just to the person living in the home that signed for the mortgage. It doesn't give you any relief to the people who are on the hook for allowing you to defer it?
No. So that's the thing, is the CARES Act came down on, basically it told mortgage servicing companies that, hey, if they apply for this and they can prove that their income's being impacted, then
Do they have to allow it?
Yes, they have to allow it. So the government was not anticipated. The government didn't realize, oh, well, wait a minute. Your servicing company's still on the hook. They still have to make the payments. So now they're asking for another bailout, basically, for the mortgage servicing companies, because this will absolutely drown mortgage servicing companies if it's not rectified. They came out this morning, I read an article that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac says that mortgage companies are only on the hook for 4 months. So after that, that will dramatically decrease, but they're expecting, the last numbers I read, they're expecting like 30% of households to be affected, or 30% of mortgage holders to go into deferral of some sort. So think about it, 30% of the people stop making payments, but you've still got to make that payment. Whew.
So if you're saying that if you're going to do a deferment, do it as only a last resort.
It's the next resort to a foreclosure or a loan modification.
Which they're not going to foreclose on you right now on not making payments, but I guess you still have to sign up for this.
Yes.
This deferral of your mortgage payments. And does it affect your credit rate at all? Credit rating at all?
Well, it doesn't affect your credit. Actually, I was wondering about that. They're not allowing you to get another mortgage right now. So if you put your loan into deferment, I can't refinance you right now. So they haven't put out any guidelines yet on, I don't know how it's going to affect your credit, because technically you're not making a payment.
They would just say, have you made a payment?
Yeah, I
this is going to be, you know, two monkeys doing you know what to a football. It's just, good Lord.
Give me my football. I'm just trying to get my football and run down the field, man.
The government, that people needed help, but they try to make it, I don't know.
Like I said, it was an unintended consequence.
Well, there's so many unintended consequences for anything the government does. It's like they don't think anything through. They're trying to, like, help themselves and pretend they're helping everyone else.
Yeah, you know, had they have not bailed out the financial institutions a couple of weeks ago, we would be hammered, man. We'd be quoting rates in the 6, 7, 8%, 10% range, because what happened, I'll back up even a couple of weeks before COVID started, mortgage rates dropped, and we had a plethora of refinances. So what you had was mortgage companies started to get maxed out on their lines of credit that they were lending the money on, and they couldn't replenish those fast enough. They're doing high volume, and then the mortgage companies were basically going back to the investors saying, hey, we need more money. And then the investors, we experience another thing called early payoff. What an early payoff is, let's say you bought your house last year and I was giving you a conventional loan at 4.5% interest rate, which was a good rate a year ago. Well, now I can get you at 3.5% and it makes sense for you to refinance. Well, the bond holder, the one that ponied up the money to give you your mortgage, they were expecting a payoff. Usually a payoff takes about 4 years before they break even and start making any money. Well, what happened was by you turning around and refinancing within a year, your servicer loses money and the bondholders lose money. So basically they call the bond due. And then all these people that were buying mortgage-backed securities, that were buying these bonds, they said, wait a minute, you mean people can pay off in a year and we don't get paid or we lose money? I'm out. So they quit buying mortgages. Meanwhile, the mortgage world is saying, hey, we need more money. We need more money, which freaked the investors out even more. And they're like, wait a minute, why do you need more money? And we're realizing that we're losing money on these. That doesn't make sense. So
losing may not be the right term, because if they're going to make new loans, they'll just get the payback later. It's just kind of deferring their profit, well, right?
It could be another servicer, you know, doing the loan. So that's the problem, is the industry kind of hit a bump there, and then COVID comes in, and then let's add deferrals on top of that. It's just it's been super complicated the past couple of weeks.
Besides being able to defer your mortgage payment, which means you're still on the hook for the money, just depending on how you set it up, it could be a lump sum,
correct?
Could be kind of worked back into the loan, whatever. They're not forgiving that amount of missed mortgage payment. Strategies to that is contact their loan servicer to see how to go about this deferment. And next question, is there any other changes in the mortgage business because of the pandemic?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think they've gotten rid of a bunch of different mortgage programs have gone on the wayside right now. Pretty much all government lending has come to a standstill. That's VA loans, FHA loans, USDA loans, because no investors are buying them. So there's zero market for selling a government loan on the secondary market. So
if just conventional these days, right?
Conventional right now. Yep.
Has the industry market kind of come to a halt? Everybody's like, oh crap.
No, that's the crazy thing. I'm still getting caught. You know, I'm taking more loan applications than ever right now.
Refis or purchase?
Both. I'm definitely doing more refinances than I ever have, just because interest rates are so low. I mean, conventional loan rates are down into the low threes.
People
are still buying, yeah. The market's hot. Our company, our bank, is doing more business this month. They're almost doubling the most volume we've ever done.
All good information. I'm going to put you kind of as a friend of the show. I'm assuming you'd be willing to answer any questions to get listeners that will call you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because I know this is a complicated thing. I think so much misinformation out there.
There is, and a lot of people just need help. You know, they need to know where they can go. They need to call somebody that they can trust that's going to shoot them straight. And that's just it. But if anybody has any questions, you need somebody just to shoot you straight on what's going on, feel free to reach out to me at 615-439-0885.
All right, Marshall Sparkman, Franklin Synergy Bank mortgage expert. We'll continue to talk real estate and mortgages and money right after this short break. Hit us up with questions, comments, disagreements. Click email the show at financialcoachingradio.com. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner. Bye.
A recent undercover study found that over 89% of paid tax preparers made mistakes. You heard me right, over 89%. Is your tax person making mistakes? Tax mistakes cost you money and may even lead to an IRS audit. I recommend you get a second opinion on your tax return today by calling Tuthero Helen Welch, CPAs, at 848-1072. Tuthero Helen Welch has been providing tax services to individuals and businesses for over 50 years. So call them today at 848-1072 or go to thwcpa.com. How much are your investments costing you each year? Most people don't have a clue. Why is this extremely important? because overpaying by just 1% a year in fees and expenses can reduce your account balance at retirement by 28%. You heard me right. 28% less at retirement. I'm commission-free, certified financial planner Jason Qualls. I don't sell financial products. I don't accept commissions or kickbacks from investment companies. Give me a call today for a free unbiased investment review at 878-2134 or visit my website, jasonquallscfp.com. You have worked your entire life for what you have, and you deserve to determine how your assets are passed on to your loved ones. Make sure your estate plan is in order by calling John Baker, estate planning attorney, today at 896-5621. Estate planning is not about you, but those you leave behind. For more, go to BakerCounsel.com or call 896-5621. Welcome back to the One Show, giving you the truth about personal finance. This is Financial Coaching Radio. No books to sell. Certainly not pushing any live event tickets. I'll leave that to the other show. I'm your host, Jason Qualls, certified financial planner. For all about me, check out JasonQuallsCFP.com. JasonQuallsCFP.com. Still in the house is Marshall Sparkman, here to talk mortgages and real estate. Big question I have to ask, because a lot of people probably have thought about it. Is now a good time to be a real estate investor? Have real estate prices came down like the prices of stock?
No, I don't think our prices are going to come down. I think they're going to level off. And I'm telling all my investor friends, I started in the business doing, you know, when I got out of the military, I thought I was going to flip houses for a living. That was back in 08. That was my grand plan, right? Because everybody was making money back then. But nowadays, I'm telling all my investor friends, just hang tight, because you're going to start seeing a bunch of distressed properties hit the market. I think the first flood of houses that are going to hit the market is going to be people self-correcting, that are saying, hey, wait a minute, that was scary. I took a drop in income. We don't need this big house. We're just going to downsize and move on. So I think here in the next couple of weeks or next month or so, you're going to see a flood of houses hit the market, because, shoot, man, you go to Lowe's or Home Depot, it is packed. Everybody's getting putting time into their
Everybody's
house.
Mulching.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a bunch of houses hit the market here in the next few weeks. We're already starting to see them trickle in now, but I think we have a bunch of houses hit the market, and what's going to happen is that's going to make the prices flatten out. The demand is still strong. Fortunately, we've still got a bunch of people that are wanting to buy, but I think the days of being able to put your house up on the market for $10,000 more just to see if you get an offer, I think those days are over. I think prices are going to kind of go back to normal. It's going to kind of flatten off. I think prices will go back to a historically comfortable and healthy market of a 5% annual appreciation instead of this 20% we've been seeing locally.
And demand will pull back some because of this, because of job loss and industries slowing down. And that's a good, it's not good for the personally, but it's good for real estate is getting out of hand here locally.
Well, it has. And I think the demand may have slowed down just a little bit, but I mean, we've still got a lot of purchase contracts coming in regularly, so you know the demand is still there. I think we got a lot of pent-up demand. I think what you're going to see is when everything shakes out and people get back to work, all these people that have just been sitting at home Googling wanting to buy a house, they're going to be out there on the market. So I see personally us having a super strong market in real estate this summer. I don't see prices going up. I don't see prices coming down. I think you will see some people that just want to sell their house and they want to get out of it, and they don't want to ask an exorbitant amount. That's the first wave. I think the second wave will be people that actually lost income that say, you know what, I can't make my payments. We're gonna need to sell, and I just need to sell it fast because we're sitting on all this equity, right? Because houses have appreciated so fast. Everybody's got all this equity just sitting in their house. So I think the second wave of people are gonna be like, hey man, I just need to pay off some of my debt, get rid of some of these bills. We're gonna sell this house, make our money, and we're gonna move on to something different. So those people will probably price their houses just a little bit lower to get aggressive. But as long as we have buyers, we got the demand there, we're going to be fine. And then the third wave, I think you're going to see, are people who actually fought through it and they tried to do it, and then they end up just going to have to go into default and foreclose on their house, which it'll be a small percentage, but our foreclosure rates lately have been so low, but it takes 18 to 24 months.
How is it even possible to foreclose with this deferment thing? Is there any issues with selling your house while in deferment?
No.
Because I know there's, if you're in the beginning stages of foreclosure, it's kind of hard to get it kind of out of there.
Yeah, they're going to tack on that whatever you owe in deferral. They're going to tack that onto your payoff amount.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Marshall Sparkman, Franklin Synergy Bank, mortgage and real estate expert. Hit him up at the website. What's the website phone number reach you, Marshall?
VALoansTN.com, VALoansTN.com. Office number 615-439-0885.
This is Financial Coaching Radio, here to talk about anything related to personal finance, help you, treat you straight. No baby steps, no one-size-fits-all advice. We'll leave that to the other guys. I'm Jason Qualls, Certified Financial Planner. Back to you.
Would you like your business to be more efficient? Well-organized financial records are the foundation of any successful business. Take an advantage over your competition today by calling Tuthero Helen Welch CPAs at 848-1072. They can provide you with expert bookkeeping, payroll services, tax planning, and much, much more. Go to thwcpa.com or call them at 848-1072 today. Get a second opinion. Get a second opinion. Get a second opinion. I'm Jason Qualls, commission-free certified financial planner. I can't stress enough how important it is for you to get a second opinion on your investments and financial plan. Unfortunately, since most financial advisors care more about selling you financial products than providing objective advice, it can be hard for you to know who has your best interest in mind. Call me, Jason Qualls, a commission-free certified financial planner, for a free no-obligation investment review at 878-2134 or go to my website, jasonquallscfp.com.
When you work with an independent insurance agent, you put the power of choice to work for you. Independent agents know several companies and their coverages, which means more options. And because companies like Donegal Insurance Group use the independent agent system, you not only get quality insurance, you also save money. The Independent Insurance Agent System. Discover the power of choice.
Make Middle Tennessee Insurance Group your choice. Call today for your hassle-free quote at 615-898-0053.
This is Financial Coaching Radio, airing every Monday through Friday, 4 o'clock right here on WGNS online anytime at financialcoachingradio.com. Just click on the archives tab. You get a long list of all the past shows. And we talk about topics on this show that everyone else is scared to touch. We don't water it down. We talk about real world financial planning issues, whether it be about estate planning, taxes, real estate, mortgages, insurance, investments, college planning, and everything in between. We're trying to cover it all every single week, and sometimes we hit two or three topics in a day. Go to financialcoachingradio.com, click archives. Marshall Sparkman with Franklin Synergy Bank is still here. Any closing thoughts on the COVID-19 and the mortgages before we get out of here?
No, I just hope it ends as quickly as it began.
Yeah, for a while there, you know, it kind of like, boom.
Yeah, it just...
I think people are kind of... most people are starting to get... put their hair back on their head and stop losing their mind. I never did. I always thought it was kind of silly, but
yeah, I think so. I think you know, hopefully the markets will stable out. Hopefully we'll get government loans back on the market. I think interest
That's
rates
amazing.
Are going to
stay low. No government loans right now. No FHA, no VA loans.
Nobody's buying them.
Interesting. All right, listen to the show anytime, anywhere, financialcoachingradio.com. I'm out of here for today. I'll see you next time, same bat channel right here on WGNS. Keep it locked in. More live and local talk.